North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm thankful that he said that and didn't say serving with an attitude. So we are in the middle of our Game On series, and I thought it was kind of funny that they asked me to speak during this series because I'm not particularly sporty. We have a lot of sports players in our family, a lot of people into sports, but that has not been my background. As I was growing up, we did not really pay attention to sports. So when I met Dennis, he was all about the Broncos. He was a transplant in Texas at that time. It was all about the Broncos. And one of the first gifts he gave me was an Orange Crush t-shirt. And I didn't seem excited when he gave it to me. And he's like, "Aren't you excited?" And I said to him, "Well, I really never drank that soda, babe." And I was quickly schooled about the importance of the Orange Crush defense. And so if I screw up some analogies or make some wrong references, you know, just chuckle and just keep plowing along because that's what I'm going to do in this service. Let's just open in prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your heart and your leading. I thank you that you invite us to be a part of whatever you're doing, Father God. And I just come right now as we share together that you would just really guide this conversation, that you will speak to the hearts of the people, Father God, that we will have greater impact on one another and greater impact on our community. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as Chad said, this is our third installment. He spoke about pressing in during worship, whether you were uncomfortable or felt, you know, your feelings weren't quite there, because we've walked into worship services before and we're just not feeling it, but that it's our responsibility to press in those times. And then Dave Runyon was here last week, and he talked about the fact that we're commanded to love our neighbors. And he challenged us to get out and at least learn their names and to begin building relationship. All as an act of obedience to what we're commanded to do as followers of Christ. Today, we are going to talk about serving, but you know, there's so many ways to get into the game. We're called to love our neighbors. We're called to worship. We're called to tithe. We're called to make disciples. And sometimes we treat that as if it's a menu and we get to choose. You know, I'll take tithing and worship. You can have the rest. But you know what? We're actually called to walk out our lives in certain ways. And one of those ways is to serve the body of Christ. So in Mark 10:42, it reminds us that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. In Galatians 6:10, it says that we have the opportunity to do good to all people, especially those in the body. And so many times we want to serve people in the community and we don't really care about the body. We'll just let the body take care of itself. And then in Galatians 6:10, it says, "Therefore we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those," I've just said that, sorry. In Ephesians 6, it says that when we do serve one another, that we will mature and obtain the full measure of God. And how many of us want the full measure of God? None of us are going like, "God, just take a quarter, please." But it's our choice. It tells us that when we're serving in the body, when we're serving one another, that's when we reach the full measure of what God has for us. And so today I'm going to talk about some of the reasons why we get taken out of the game. You know, you practice and you train your body in sports. I know this because I've had some athletes in the house. You train and you train and you train. I had one son that was a distance runner, and for a long time he ran 100 miles a week so that he could participate in one race a week. And he hated the running every day. No matter what the weather was like, he would get up and he'd run. But it was all about the race. I had another one who played basketball. He did all kinds of stuff, not because he enjoyed what he was doing, but it was all about the game. And then when they got in the game, that's when they proved themselves. That's when they saw how much they've grown. That's when they knew that what they had been putting their life toward mattered, and that they had gained skill. And that's where they really gained confidence in who they were and what they were able to do as athletes. So many times we get stuck in the preparation mode, and we don't want to get called into the game because we're intimidated or we're uncomfortable or we feel inadequate. And so today I'm going to be looking at Luke 6 and talking about some of what it says to us about getting into the game. Getting into the game by doing what God has commanded us to do through serving. So if you'll look at Luke 6, I'm just going to really quickly talk about the first two stories in Luke 6. Gives us an example of Jesus doing what he's doing. He's walking with his disciples. He's meeting the needs of people. He's actually healing somebody on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders at the time started being really critical of him. They started challenging him. So here's what I'm going to say to you. When you're in the game, you get criticized. You know, you get criticized. You never see anybody go like, did you see them sitting on the bench? No, it's when you're in the game that you get criticized. So you have to be prepared for that. That can't stop you. That can't stop you from being in the game, but it happens. It happens to Jesus. But you know what I like is that his example is that he continued to be obedient to what God had told him to do and the way that God had told him to do it. And that should be our response. It shouldn't take us out. We shouldn't quit. We shouldn't get into a fist fight. But we should just continue in what God has called us to do. The next one, I'm going to drop down to 20 through 26. And here's really where we're going to look at some of the meat. In verse 20, it says that looking at the disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." He's talking about being poor in spirit. A couple months ago, I was talking to somebody who serves in the church, and they said, "I really was afraid to serve in the church because I just didn't feel like I had what it took, and I felt like some of the leaders in the church didn't think I had what it took." And I was shocked because my interactions with this person was that they lived out what they believed, that they sought God, that they knew how to follow him. And it really broke my heart that somebody would feel that way. But I know what happens, because that's one of the ways that the enemy attacks us. There was a time in my own life where I had been really, really involved in ministry, and I was just completely blindsided and derailed very quickly. And I was crushed. I was discouraged. I was questioning who I was and how I had spent my life up to that point. And really just wanted to crawl in a hole, cover my head, and be done. And it was at that time that God said to me, "I think you should work with women." Now, if you know me, you know that I'm not a good woman. I am really not domestic. You know, when Dennis says, "Are you cooking dinner?" all I can think is like, will it mess up the kitchen? I'm not domestic. I don't enjoy it. I've told you before, I'm not a nurturer. We have stuff on our walls because he said, "Babe, you should put up pictures." That's just not my gift. So when he says, "I want you to work with women," I'm like, do you not see this mess here? I don't even like women. And so we upped the ante. He said, "You're going to work with women in Colorado, and then you're going to work with women in Texas." And I did, because I'd learned how to be obedient. And it was in that brokenness and in that inadequacy and that insecurity that I saw God do some of his greatest work through me. Through me. It wasn't me. But there would be times when a woman would be speaking to me and I would speak something to her, and as I spoke it to her, it hit me. That's who I am. That's what I know. That's who I'm called to be. And he began to heal me. And he began to heal my heart. And he began to empower me in a new way. From my lack, I was poor in spirit. But you know what? When we're poor in spirit, we move in a humility we don't always have when we're not hurting. And what happens when we're humble is that God gets glory. Because people go, if they can, he can use a hot mess like that. He's a mighty God. And there's hope for me. You know, God had already gone before me. So all the reasons I had for not going didn't matter. He had already put the plan in place. He had already equipped me in ways I didn't know. He had already put the right people in place. So when we withdraw because we lack, it's our way of questioning who he is. We lie to ourselves and tell us it's about us, but it's our way of questioning who he is, and we can't live there. Next, it says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Over and over again, I hear people say, when we ask them to serve, say, I just feel like right now I'm supposed to be getting fed. I just need some time to be fed. And there's seasons when that's happening. But I didn't share this first service, I'll share it second service. My oldest son, about 12, fell at one point and broke both of his arms. And so he was in a cast like this for 3 months. When you're in a cast like this, you can't feed yourself. So for 3 months, we were feeding him. And I love that child, but it got old. He couldn't take a drink of water. He couldn't feed himself. And it just taxed the rest of it. Tiffany got mean, man. She'd put a chip in each hand and walk off. She was over his broken arms and all the attention he got. We do that in the body, though. Some of us sit and go like, feed me. Oh, I need a little more. Can you pray for me? I'm hurting. Who have you fed? Who have you given to? How are you living your life? There's a great story in 1 Kings 17 when Elijah went to a widow and asked her to make him some bread. And she's like, I just have a little oil and a little flour. And I'm going to make a loaf of bread for my son and I, and then I'm going to die. We're just going to die. We're done. The famine's taken us out. And he said, make one for me first, and you'll have plenty. That's where we're at. Will you make a little loaf for somebody else in the body so that you'll have plenty? See, when we're feeding, we get fed. That's just the way it works. Don't ask me how. I'm not God. But I know that I know that I know that I know that. When we're feeding, we get fed. We get stuck in the preparation cycle. Don't get stuck there. You're called to be in the game. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that he has a cheerleading section. You're called to participate. You're called to be in the game. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. 2 Kings 4 tells the story. These widows and their oil, what am I going to say? But 2 Kings tells us a story of a widow woman. Her husband had been a prophet, and he had died and left her in debt. So I'm sure when you think about being in the ministry and him dying and you being left in debt, there's some anger and bitterness and hurt there. You know, we've been serving for years, and I have nothing. And she's asking him for help because the debtors are coming to take her sons and would leave her with nothing. She'd have no way of taking care of herself. And after she'd given and served, the prophet says to her, what do you have in your house? You see, even when you think you don't have anything, you have something. So ask God, what do I have in my house? What is it that I have in me that I'm supposed to give? And she goes, I have a little oil. And he says, go to your neighbors. Second thing she had fellowship. Why did she have fellowship? Because she had made those relationships. Go to your neighbors and borrow their jars. Bring them back into your house and take that little bit of oil and start pouring it and filling it. You'll have enough to pay your debt and sustain your life. How many times do we hold on to our time and our energy and our money and our resources because we think it's just enough for us? But if we pour it out, God just continues to pour. He'll take our weeping and he'll turn it into laughter. But we have to get in the game before that can happen. You will return to laughter when you submit what you have. Do you hear me? When you submit what you have. Not when you hold on to it, not when you figure it out, but when you submit to God, you return to laughter. He goes on and says, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject you, your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Okay, prepare yourselves. Not everybody's going to like you. It will be people inside the church who will point fingers at you. It'll be people outside the church who will point fingers at you. It'll be people in your own house who will challenge you, who will say to you, you think you're all that, but I know who you are. That's okay, so does God. We can't let it stop us. We have to listen and go like, God, show me who I am. Show me if I'm supposed to pull back. But I'm not pulling back until you tell me, because you said go. You said serve. And so until I get a stop, I'm going to be obedient to what you've called me to do. We struggle with understanding the ways and thoughts of God. That's our Christian walk, as we go, oh man, God, you showed me this. I have to adjust the way I live, the way I think. We struggle with it as Christians, and we know and love him. Especially if you have an unbeliever, they're not going to get it. So you can't let them derail what you're supposed to do. You pray for them. You love them. Love them. But you keep moving forward. And the other thing I'll tell you is, people can criticize all day long when you're playing a game, but when you win, it gets quiet. So press for the win. Not in their face. You don't want it in their face. I don't mean that in their face. But when they see God move through you, crickets. And then it begins to turn. And I can tell you that in my own family, the family I grew up in, was criticized a lot for the way that I had lived my life. And now, the phone calls. What do you think about this? Can you pray about that? Can you come talk about this? Why? Because they've seen God move in my life. Play to win. And you don't know who you'll win. This next part's going to go, I'm going to do it really short. But it talks about, woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. That is how the ancestors spoke about false prophets. If we are relying on ourselves and happy with the things that the world gives us over what God can give us, woe to us. If we're full of what the world gives us, we're spending all of our time, our money, our resources, satisfying our own wants, woe to you. Because there will come a time when it won't be enough. And it won't satisfy. He's telling us to store up in heaven. Store up in his kingdom to give. Then we go on down to verse 27 through 36, and he just starts summarizing. And so he says, basically, service looks like loving those who hate you, forgiving, pray for those who hurt you, lend without expecting return. That's what sets you apart from unbelievers. Jesus reminds us that God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. He has mercy, and he asks us to join him in it. That's what he's asking for. He's not allowing us to make any excuses. We can't point any fingers. We can't say, you know, that's not for me. That's the command. And he's warning us. He's given us every warning. That's where you're headed, guys. Will you serve the body? But what's in it for us? How do we get into the game? We have to make a decision. I had a friend who goes to this church tell me this week that when she first started coming, she felt like she was supposed to serve, and she didn't really know where. So she picked a ministry that she knew had a need, and she said, I'll serve there for a year. And she did. And she said it was okay. I met a lot of people. I learned a lot. But at the end of the year, she goes, I just knew there had to be something more. So she switched to another ministry. And she goes, man, it's joyous. I love it. I'm in the right place. But I wouldn't give up my season that I had that first year. That's how you start. Make a commitment and stick with a commitment. I've never started a job or an opportunity that in the beginning was comfortable. I second guess myself. I feel awkward. I don't like it. I like the same old, like we all do. But make a commitment to a ministry and stick with it for 6 months to a year. See what God does. You don't have to make a lifelong commitment. Praise Jesus. I no longer work with women. Praise Jesus. No, I loved it. But make a commitment. Try something. Matthew, if you want to come. I'm going to tell you a story on a personal level about what you have to do when you make those commitments. So I really do have a great husband. He's home watching the Broncos. But but he's really good. He supports me in ministry, and, and doing things he always has. I've already told you I'm not very domestic, and I'm telling you that the man just has grace. He really does not ask very much of me. And so a while back he said, I'd really like for you to grow your hair out. It's been a long time since you've had long hair. Will you grow your hair out? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, you have to understand this is my attitude on hair. This is the one question I have for God when I get to heaven. How come we're not bald in the summer and have a fur cap in the winter? Why do we have to figure out what to do with it? That's my question. So I'm not a hair person anyway, so I'm saying sure. And every morning when I was fixing this long hair, I would get irritated. I don't like long hair. It takes a lot of work. It's never going to dry. It gets free. I mean, I could go on and on. And then one day I thought, this is compliance. Because compliance is doing something outwardly, but your heart's not in it. And I thought, I found the key to get a haircut. So I'm going to Dennis, and I'm going to tell him that I'm growing my hair out of compliance, and that God does not want me to live with that kind of heart. And as soon as I thought that, the Holy Spirit said to me, change your heart. I'm going to say that's part of what we have to do when we serve. We think that it should make us happy immediately, that it shouldn't be uncomfortable, that we shouldn't struggle. It's not true. But he says, change your heart. And if you'll give me your heart, I'll give you a heart of flesh. And you'll desire to serve. And you'll fall in love with who you're serving, whether they're a woman or not. Give me your heart. Let me do it so that you'll serve and the body will have what it needs. Father, I just come right now. And I ask that you will change us from the inside out. Father, where there's hurt from serving, I ask that there be healing. Where we feel inadequate, I ask that you give us courage and strength. But I ask, Father God, that you will give us a heart to obey, to serve one another, to esteem one another higher than ourselves, Father God. Here's some things. Here's some ways you can serve at North Rock. We have somebody here that once a week goes and picks up the Sam's order, and I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for them every week. Because I don't know who would pick it up. We'd all be scrambling. We have a couple women who come in and fill the backs of the chairs every single week. And if it wasn't for them, I'm telling you, the staff would be running around like crazies on Sunday morning because we'd forget it. But they come in and they just serve. Nobody knows. But it's still service. It still affects the body. You can help on the media team, on the soundboard, children's ministry, youth ministry, office team, hospitality, CR children's ministry, building teams, missions teams. Chris is crying for people to come do missions team. Let's build missions teams. Two areas of service that we'll be participating in October, starting in October, is Operation Christmas Child. We'll be filling shoe boxes to give to children around the world, and then adopting families for Christmas. But we need you to serve. Here's the best part. This is the best for last, because that's the way God does it. But down on verse 38, in the Message version, he says, give away your life. You'll find life given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. And I can tell you that I know that's true. I know that's true in my own life. That the more I give away, the more he blesses back and meets every need. The more I give my time, stuff gets done. My life is rich. That's the way he works, in us and through us and for us. Maybe you're standing here this morning and you're like, I don't even know who this God is, this Jesus that you're talking about. You know what? We're going to say a prayer here in a minute. And if you're interested in building that kind of relationship and getting to know him, I invite you to pray it along with us. And in our prayer, I like it because it says that we're committed to the body. We pray that? Remember that? Let's make a new commitment that we're committed to one another in this journey. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend. If you'd like to have prayer, there will be a team up here. If you've asked Jesus to be a part of your heart, we have a packet for you. But go in peace and blessing.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.